Would you turn with me again, please, to that portion that we read together in Exodus chapter 10. And we want to consider this afternoon those verses that we've read in closing, the verses 21 through to 23, where we read that the Lord said unto Moses, stretch out thine hand toward heaven, that there may be darkness over the land of Egypt, even darkness which may be felt. And Moses stretched forth his hand toward heaven, and there was a thick darkness in all the land of Egypt 3 days. They saw not one another, neither rose any from his place for 3 days, but all the children of Israel had light in their dwelling. Let's just bow in a moment's prayer. Father in heaven, we thank thee again for thy precious truth, and ask that thou would be pleased to write it now upon our hearts. And even as we consider this portion before us, may we understand the wonderful and the fearful and awesome spiritual truth within this portion that applies to us yet today. Oh, that we might not be amongst those that are found in such heavy darkness, but may we be those that have light in our dwellings. So we do ask these things in the Saviour's name. Amen. Now it seems over the last number of weeks we have been coming again and again to the wonderful subject of light in the midst of darkness. Certainly in our studies in John's Gospel, in chapters 8 and 9, we've considered the Lord Jesus Christ as the light of the world. But yet I couldn't get away from it when I was looking through the plagues that fell upon the nation of Egypt. We could have focused upon the lice or the boils or the locusts that came, but it was these words in Exodus 10 that spoke of the darkness and the light that appealed to me once again. So I do apologize if you think that we keep coming back to the same subject. But I look upon these things as happy coincidences, if such a thing can be said, that the Lord has directed us both in the Gospel of John and also in our study of Israel's departure out of Egypt to land upon the same theme, both morning and evening. And so I make no apology for that. And I trust that we'll not be repeating ourselves overly. There will be some overlap, of course, but I trust that the Lord will bless his word to our hearts. We read in those verses of a thick darkness that covered the land of Egypt 3 days. A darkness so thick that nothing could penetrate it. We read, of course, that the children of Israel had light in their dwellings. Did they have lamps and torches and candles that they could use? Well, did the Egyptians not have those things? Such was the darkness that fell upon Egypt that the light of their torches and lamps, I believe, had no impact upon it. A thick darkness in all the land of Egypt. A darkness, we're told, that could be felt. And it's only when we find ourselves in such darkness that we begin to realize just how precious a commodity light is. If you ever have to do without light, you recognize by its loss just how precious it is. If you've ever fumbled around your house looking for a torch or for candles when the power goes out, you begin to understand what we mean, because you bump into everything. You open drawers and it seems that your eyes are closed. You can find nothing in it. You're trying to identify things by feel and touch and shape. Where there is no light, there is no sight. It's the rays of light coming through our eyes that enable us to see. And when that light is gone, there is only darkness. And here in Exodus 10, we read of one of the final plagues that the Lord unleashed upon Egypt before his people would be freed from their bondage. Yes, there were plagues of locusts and frogs and various diseases, but this plague involved simply darkness. A darkness over all the land of Egypt. Even darkness which may be felt as thick as fog, as black as coal, a darkness that has devastated the entire nation. The whole country comes to a standstill because of this darkness that has gripped the land. We are told that they saw not one another, neither rose any from his place for 3 days. It was a darkness that terrified them. They were afraid to move. And yet, interestingly, we read in verse 23, while some were in the midst of this terrible darkness, that all the children of Israel had light. They had light in their dwellings. Egypt was in darkness, but God left the light on for his children. And I see a tremendous parallel between what's happening in Egypt and what is happening all around us today. There is much darkness in our world today. There is a thick darkness that has gripped the land. And yet for some, God has left the light on. Now there are some things I want us to consider from this portion. To consider firstly this land that is covered in darkness. As a result of Pharaoh's hardened heart, God continues to plague the land. And in this all but final plague, we find that God turns out the lights. Egypt becomes a place smothered in darkness. And it reminds us of the world in which we live. Because we're told it's a thick darkness in all the land of Egypt. Not one corner of that country, not one single square meter of land, but that it wasn't penetrated with this thick, gloomy darkness. From the palace of Pharaoh, to the pyramids, to the household of his servants, darkness has enveloped the land. Thick darkness that can be felt, a physical darkness, in the same way in which our society has been covered in a spiritual darkness. Spiritually speaking, most people live in darkness. And it's a darkness that stretches from the jungles of Africa to the mansions of the rich and famous. People everywhere are gripped with a spiritual darkness. In John 1 verse 5, John described the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ into this world in these words. He said, "The light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not." Without Christ, we are in spiritual darkness. And it doesn't matter if we would be a king upon the throne, or a citizen in the third world. Without Christ, we are in spiritual darkness. And when we look around at society, we have to confess, we have to admit that the majority of people do not know the Lord Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. And darkness pervades their mind. And it reaches throughout the whole land, just as it did in those days in Egypt. As a result of this darkness, we are told in verse 23 that the people, that they saw not one another, nor rose any from his place for 3 days. It's a darkness that has incapacitated the people. Not only can they not see, but they don't move. They haven't done anything in 3 days. The darkness has hindered them. Those that find themselves in spiritual darkness have found it to be just as debilitating and as binding as the people of Egypt find.
Because when we are in spiritual darkness, we find that there is nothing that we can personally do to alleviate the spiritual situation around us. We cannot move ourselves toward God. We cannot save ourselves. We are spiritually bound in the darkness. Proverbs 4 and 19 tells us that the way of the wicked is as darkness. They know not at what they stumble. A person in spiritual darkness can go nowhere spiritually. There is no recovery. There is no reform. They only sit in darkness. Why is it that the drug addict returns to the needle that is destroying? Why is it that the alcoholic returns to the bottle that will eventually kill him? It's because they are bound in darkness. The darkness prevents them from moving out of their condition. And just as the nation of Egypt was covered in darkness, a darkness that kept its people from moving, so too has spiritual darkness gripped the world today. Men and women are imprisoned by it. Because of that darkness, they are unable to see God, or to move toward God, or to move themselves out of the darkness at all. They find themselves like those in Egypt, with a darkness that is oppressive. A darkness in which we find them not moving from their place. They remain in the darkness. So while we see a people and a land that are covered in darkness, we're also told of a people that are saved from the darkness. Look again at what we read in verse 23. They saw not one another, neither rose any from his place for 3 days, but all the children of Israel had light in their dwellings. The palaces of Egypt were smothered in darkness, but the slave quarters of Israel had light. A thick darkness has covered the land, but there was a people in whose houses light could be found. And while our society is darkened, and our eyes are closed toward God, and they're found gripped in the servitude and bondage to sin, though their eyes have been darkened by the god of this world, yet there are those who have light in their dwellings. There are some, just as it was in Egypt, whom God has saved from the darkness. Now who are they? Well, we're told who they are. Verse 23 tells us that it was the children of Israel that had light. Now they may have been slaves in Egypt, but they are identified here for us as the people of the Lord. They are God's chosen people. They belong to Him. And even though the rest of the land is gripped in darkness, they have light even when no one else has. They are the people of the Lord. And for those 3 days and 3 nights where darkness pervaded the land, the light belonged not to the wealthy, nor to the royalty. The light belonged to those who belonged to God. Israel had light in their dwellings, and it's because of their relationship to God. Many today think to alleviate the darkness that prevails through education. Education is the key, they tell us. If everyone were better educated, then there would be less darkness in the world. But that's not where the light is to be found. Others try through their own efforts, but they find that there's no light to be given there either. The light is to be found with those who are in that right relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ, because He is the light. And if we are in Him, we are in the light. If we are outside of Him, we are in darkness. The light belongs to those who have trusted in the Lord Jesus Christ. Here's what Paul said in Ephesians 5. Wherefore he saith, awake thou that sleepest, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. You know what's interesting today? Society feels, in the most part at least, that the Christians are the unenlightened ones. They think that we are the ones in darkness. You get the evolutionists that look upon believers who insist upon a six-day creation on the God who created all things by the word of His power as unenlightened, uneducated. They think that we are the ones in darkness. When you come to those that seek out the pleasures of this world and find that they don't satisfy, so they must go looking for pleasures elsewhere. When we seek to tell them that all they're really doing is binding themselves more and more into sin and judgment. When we tell them that there's a way to escape through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, they think we are in darkness. That they are the enlightened ones. They are the ones that have tasted and seen all the pleasures of the world. They're the ones that have an open mind to embrace and experience everything. That we are the ones in darkness. That's how they look upon us. When the reality is, it's only those who are in Jesus Christ that have any light at all. It's the people of the Lord that have been saved from the darkness. And they are a select few. Yet these are the people with the light. It's interesting when we think that the slaves of Egypt had something that even the great Pharaoh didn't have. They had light. All of Egypt is in darkness, but the people of God have light in their dwelling. When we compare ourselves again to Israel, we realize that we are blessed with the light of the Lord Jesus Christ. And then we are reminded of how important our role is within this darkened world. You see, the schools and the universities don't have the light. The businessman and the stock market don't have the light. The governments and the social workers don't have the light. It's the church of the Lord Jesus Christ that has the light. And we are to be a light in this world. And as the darkened world around us is ever going to see the light, it will be the light that is reflected in us from Christ. We are the people of the Lord. Jack came home from school the other day and said, "Daddy, you know the moon doesn't have any light of its own. When the moon shines, it's just the reflection of the rays of the sun back again upon the earth." And I said, "That's right, son. That's what we are to be like as Christians. To reflect the light of the sun, the Lord Jesus Christ, upon a darkened world. We are to be a light unto a darkened people." The words of the hymn writer come to mind. "Send the light, the blessed gospel light. Let it shine from shore to shore. Send the light, the blessed gospel light. Let it shine forevermore." Being the people with the light carries with it responsibilities. We must shine into the darkness. We must send the light. We must expose the error. We must reveal the truth. We are the light of the Lord Jesus Christ reflected in society. Let them see the light.
because there is a power that is stronger than the darkness. And while all of Egypt is in darkness, yet God has given light to His people, we are reminded that God has power over the darkness of this world. Arthur Pink said, "The Egyptians had a darkness which they could not light up, and Israel had a light which they could not put out." And so while darkness permeated all of Egypt, the light of God shined in the homes of His people. And that light was a power stronger than all of the darkness. Because of course God created the light. When we read in Genesis chapter 1, the days of creation, we find that God said, "Let there be light," and there was light. And yet before God spoke those words, there was no light. We are told that darkness covered the earth, just as it did again in Egypt during this plague. And yet the one who commanded light to shine in the darkness of creation is the same one that could shine light in the darkness of Egypt. The giving of the light is the work of the Lord. You and I have light now because of God's creative power. Thomas Edison may have created the light bulb, but God created the light. And when we think of God as the creator of light, we are reminded of a precious truth. Sometimes we wonder, you see, as we share the message of the gospel into a darkened world, will it ever succeed? Will it ever work? We wonder, will the light of the gospel reach those who are in darkness? Here's what we need to remember. God created the light. He created it. Therefore, it's not the light of the individual. It's not the light of the church that we're seeking to shine. It's the light of the living Christ. God created the light, and the darkness can be expelled by it. We share the gospel with confidence because we're not shining a man-made light into the darkness. We're shining the very light of Christ, who is that light. Man has sought to enlighten himself. He has Darwinism and humanism and materialism and socialism and every other ism that he's come up with. And you know, he's still in darkness. All of these man-made synthetic lights never overcome the darkness of sin. But the light of the gospel is God's light. And when that true light shines in upon a soul, it will expose the darkness of sin. It can expel it. It can bring those who are bound in nature's night into the glorious light of the gospel. God created the light, and He controls it. The light was removed from Egypt, yet it remained in the house of the Israelites. God was in control where and when the light shined. And when we think of that, we are reminded, perhaps, of a truth that we forget sometimes. Sometimes we look at our situation and we don't know what to do, and we might say to ourselves that we're in the dark about that aspect of our life. Well, child of God, remember, God controls the light. And there are times when it might seem that there is no light. We can't see what God is doing. We don't know what way we should be going. Well, remember that God is in control of the light, and when I need to see and I need to know, God will reveal it. God will provide it. He controls the light. And so while things might seem unclear now, remember that God is yet upon His throne. He's the only one that can give us direction. He's the creator and the controller of the light. And we look to him. Oh, the plague of darkness that covered Egypt for 3 days. That reminds us of the darkness that covers our world. We need for the Lord of glory to shine the light. To do it through his people. That the light of Christ might be seen in this world. Because men are in darkness. And God has given us the light to shine. And the light of God can overcome the darkness of this world. The light of God can overcome the darkness of this world. Oh, that we might hear God say to those in darkness around us, let there be light. May they come to that light, the Lord Jesus Christ, and rejoice in the salvation that's found in him alone. Because outside of Christ there is no light. No light, no hope, no future bliss in heaven. To remain outside of Christ is to be cast into that place that the Bible calls outer darkness. A place of weeping and wailing and gnashing of teeth. They may not be cast into the darkness forever, but abide in the light, even as God is in the light. May the Lord bless his word to our hearts.